And this group of people bring to Jesus a deaf man. A man that was deaf and he couldn't talk right. He couldn't speak clearly. So the implication here is probably that this man at one point could hear, but for one reason or another, at a young age, he became deaf. And he could speak a little bit, but it wasn't very clear. It wasn't intelligible. I mean, I've had experience in dealing and working and being around deaf people before, and there's some that can talk pretty well, and there's some that try and can't. And they make noise, and it's funny. At our old church, there was a deaf section, and sometimes they're communicating or vocalizing in some way. They're not making any sense, but they're being very loud because they can't hear it. They can't hear what they're doing, but they're being very noisy, and it can be a disruption. Well, it's not their fault. They just don't know. Here's a man. He had a stutter, a stammer, a slurred speech. Some way he couldn't communicate clearly. He maybe could vocalize in some way, but you really couldn't understand him. He was limited in his ability to communicate. And they bring this man to Jesus, and they say, "I want Jesus to lay his hand on him." Now, whether or not this was an effort to try to heal the man, or they just wanted some, you know, ceremonial blessing, it doesn't say. I believe this, they weren't expecting Jesus to heal him. They didn't think Jesus could heal him. Jesus put the hands on, because you'll see later on at the end of the passage, when he does heal them, they're shocked. Beyond measure, they're astonished. Why? It's like they brought him to see, maybe it was a test. Let's see if this Jesus really can do what we've heard, or maybe he can just lay his hands on him, because we know that this man is not really worth a lot of time. We wouldn't give much attention, but maybe he can just bless this poor, pathetic, pitiful man and move on. So they bring him to Jesus. And it's interesting what happens in verse number 33 through 35. "And he took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue, and he looked up to heaven, he sighed." And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, "Ephphratha." I've worked hard in trying to pronounce this the right way. It's a really hard word to pronounce. Ephphratha. Interesting. It means this. It's an Aramaic word. A term means to be open. Jeremiah, come here. I'm going to use you for an example here. Let's get up here so we can see everybody. So a weird event happens and takes place in this passage. You know, we see other times Jesus healing people, and at times when there was a woman who had an issue of blood, the woman just touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. Another time, this man who had a servant that was sick and about to die, Jesus just said a word and they were healed. We'll see here later on that Jesus heals a blind man again with this with touching his hands and using spit and different things. Like, man, why is there such a variety? What's the difference? What's going on? Couldn't Jesus always have just spoken and healed? Yes. But what I love about this is it shows the tenderness and the individuality of Jesus. That Jesus is taking interest, and he takes interest in each and every individual. This is what's great. I love this about our Savior, is that we see Jesus' heart and ministering at times to the multitude, but really what shows the heart and the compassion of our Savior, of Jesus Christ, is when he stops and ministers to one. Is when everything else is going on, that Jesus stops and ministered to this one person and treats them and works with them as an individual and not just some person that he's just whipping through to get out of the way. No, he's taking time for him. And what happens in this passage? Come here, Jeremiah. This is going to be awkward, okay? You ready for this? Okay, I'm not going to spit on you, okay? So take your hands out. You're deaf. You can't talk, okay? So what Jesus does is, so there's a crowd of people. So this crowd of people are coming, and when you look in the other Gospels, you'll see that this crowd are crowds that are continually coming, and it's crowd after crowd. And if you'll remember what's happening at this time in Jesus' ministry, there are some people who are looking for a sign. There are some people who are looking for healing. There are some people that are trying to undermine and stop Jesus from what he's doing. And there are some people, the Herodians, that are even trying to kill Jesus. So in these crowds and these people coming, there's a lot happening, a lot going on. But Jesus says that they bring to him this man who was deaf and couldn't speak. And Jesus doesn't do this. Jesus doesn't doesn't perform some sideshow with this man. He doesn't make a spectacle of himself and this man. The Bible says that Jesus pulls him aside and takes him aside, probably just him and the disciples, and he does this. Okay. You want to be healed, right? Mm-hmm. Right? You can't hear me. You remember? You can't hear what I'm saying. We're going to communicate, but we can't hear. So what does Jesus do? He does this. It says he puts his hands, his fingers in his ears. And then what does it say he does next? He spits. He spits. And then he touches his tongue. We'll imagine this, okay? He touches his tongue. And then the Bible says that Jesus, he sighs and he looks up to heaven and he says, Ephrathah. I think I got it right that time. Ephrathah. It's kind of interesting if you think about this. There's people that I know and that are deaf and that can read lips. And I've read after one person that said that this would have been a very hard word to read lips with, pronouncing this, Ephrathah. Says it's the way that it's formed and that you form your mouth to make this word could be confusing to somebody even that would know the language, because it's hard to articulate the movements of the lips in this, and there's a lot of ways even in Aramaic to pronounce this. And so it's kind of interesting because he doesn't say something simple even that this man would be able to grasp. And so everything that happens, you say, man, why did Jesus do this? Why did he go through this whole process of putting his fingers and spitting and touching the tongue? Why couldn't Jesus just have just healed and moved on? Again, here's what I love about this, is I believe this is showing, this is not some ritual that he's going through. This isn't just some production that he's going through to heal. I believe what Jesus is really doing is Jesus is being personal with this man, and he's communicating with him. They didn't have sign language back then. They didn't communicate, but Jesus is trying to communicate to this man, and he's telling him, instead of just saying, I'm going to pull you aside and I'm going to heal you, he's communicating with him. Come here. Take your hands out of your pockets. Do this. Okay, here we go. So what is he doing? He's saying this. You can look at me. I'm not going to spit at you. So he's saying this. He's trying to communicate. Your ears, your stop. And he spits. That's like a couple different things. Some people say, well, this is, he was going to spit and he was, you know, trying to follow what some pagan ritual was. No, I believe he's this. He's saying this is bad. We're getting rid of it. This is going away. He's trying to tell him, I'm going to deal with your hearing. Spit, let me. And he says, I'm going to touch your tongue. I'm going to deal with your voice, and we're going to fix this. And it says this, but I'm relying on this. I believe he sighs, not out of frustration, not because he doesn't know what's going to happen. I believe Jesus is sighing in a tender moment of compassion with this man, to show, hey, I'm looking up to heaven. Ephrathah, be open, be loosed. And I mean, it's amazing that at this point, this word Ephrathah, and Jesus now is communicating. Now this guy can hear for the first time in probably decades. He can hear. I mean, think of this. This man who hasn't been able to speak, where anybody could hear him and understand him, now can communicate. The first person that he's ever going to talk to is going to be the Savior. The first person that he's going to communicate with is going to be Jesus. And he's excited. And this man, no doubt, is thrilled at what's about to happen. Jesus has just communicated to him and looked up to heaven that this healing's not coming from any ritual. This healing's not coming from any pagan rite. No, this is a miracle that's coming from the power of heaven itself. And he communicates to this man and heals him. Look at what it says here in verse number 34. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephrathah, that is, be opened. That word be opened is the same type of word they use when somebody is let loose of prison. It's like his the cords of his tongue and of his voice are broken free. And he is now able to speak. Look at verse number 35. And straightway, immediately. Doesn't mean, okay, this is going to take some time. It's going to take some work. After a few weeks and after some therapy, you know, and after some speech therapy and some things to help tune in your hearing, all this stuff, it'll be right. No, immediately. Immediately. Straightway, his ears were open and the strings of his tongue were loosed, and he could speak plainly. So immediately, this man was brought from from unable to hear, unable to communicate, to now his ears are open, he can hear the crowd, he can hear the Savior, and now he can communicate, he can talk. Things are brought back to the way that they were intended to be. But it's interesting, because he charged them, so no doubt him and the people that came with him that brought them, he charged them that they should tell no man. Get this. So now, again, this man that has lived a life in silence, lived a life not being able to communicate, and the best thing in his life has ever happened to him, and Jesus says, don't communicate it. Don't do this. Don't go and spread my, don't go spread that this has happened. But look at what it says. But the more he charged them, so much the more, the great deal, they published it. I believe this is kind of a blanket statement to all those around, that the more that he was healing and the more that he said, don't do this, the more people began to spread and to publish it, and were beyond measure, in verse number 37, astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. You can have a seat. Thank you. But I didn't spit on you. I don't think anyways. He plugged, he spit, he touched, he blessed, he healed. That's what he did in this passage. Jesus is tender with this man, but he charges him at the end. Listen, don't go spread this. Why? Because remember, this is a repeat. We've heard this more than once in the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus does something great and he tells them, don't go spread this. Why? Because Jesus' time had not yet fully come. His message was not yet complete. He had tasked the disciples with ministering, but they didn't fully understand what was going on. Remember when we preached about Jesus healing the leper, he said the same thing. Don't go tell anybody. Don't go spread this. Why? Because people are going to try to exploit this. People are going to try and make this something that it's not. Jesus' end goal and his ultimate purpose was not just to do physical healing. That wasn't his intent. All of the physical healing that he was doing was to establish and to show that he was the Messiah. But people seeing this healing are going to come even more to try to receive something and to try to exploit the healing and not really be concerned about the message, not really be concerned about what he's teaching. I mean, it's common that, I mean, you hear of things like this happening and you have a family member, yeah, you're going to go. But Jesus is clear in that his healing and that his ministering this way is all to set up the preaching and the teaching that he is the Messiah, he is the Savior, you must repent and put your faith and trust in him. Despite all of that, everything that Jesus had said, the word continues to spread even more. And in times we see in the Gospel of Mark where it affected his ministry, where he wasn't able to go to certain cities because things were overwhelmed. They didn't fully understand. Some would want to come and make him an earthly Messiah. No, they weren't going to fully understand everything until the cross. Once the cross came, then that was going to be the fulfillment of what Jesus came to do. The cross, the resurrection. And now the message is go. But right now, it wasn't time. A man that was deaf now can hear, but was told to hold on. Why? Because he didn't want his message to be skewed. He didn't want the truth of who he was and what he came to do to be misrepresented and to be a selfish, man-centered, self-centered gospel. Listen, there's a movement in today's world, and you see it a lot on TV, where it's a you call it a prosperity type of gospel, where Jesus is here just to make your life better. That Jesus came just to help you with all the physical issues of life, to make you wealthy, healthy, and happy. That's why he came. Well, listen, knowing Jesus will help me to see the reality of what true wealth is. But that doesn't mean I'm going to get $1 million tomorrow. Knowing and understanding who Jesus is, it's going to give me joy in the midst of difficult circumstances and situations, but that doesn't mean everything's going to go my way. Knowing who Jesus is going to give me that joy. It's, you know what? It may not deliver me from a physical health, but you know what? God will give me the grace to deal with that, to deal with that physical infirmity. And you know what? God will use it as a testimony to point others to Him. But see, people can twist the message of Jesus and think that it's all about me having the wealth and the things that I want. So Jesus is saying, no, that's not what it's about. Listen, I've got a message to preach, and that message has not fully come yet until I die on the cross. So hold this. But yet, the nature of man is to spread the things that are for them and yet miss the whole point. So what do we take away from this passage or from this account? I think there's a couple things in, I think one importantly that we can get from here. You know, infirmities at times in Scripture, blindness and even a deafness are oftentimes represented or synonymous with not just physical blindness and deafness, but with spiritual deafness, if you will, to use this account, that there is a inability at times for people to hear. This man couldn't hear the message that Jesus is the Messiah until his ears were open. Jesus took the time to passionately and compassionately heal this man, to open his ears, to allow him to communicate. Listen, here's a reality in life today. Today, there are oftentimes those who cannot hear the message of Christ, that are unable to hear. And I'm not talking about just with physical ears. I'm thankful for things today, and I used to know sign language pretty well, but I haven't used it in years, and I can say, like, you know, communicate maybe like two words now. But I'm thankful for those who know that can communicate to those who are dealt that infirmity. But listen, the issue about those who cannot hear, there are those sometimes because of their location or because of their circumstance and situation of life, they're at a point where there is nobody that knows them that knows the gospel. There are people all over this world that no one that they know or no one that they come in contact with knows the gospel. They can't hear. I just love how the Lord puts things together when we prayed about having March a missions month, you know, not knowing that this is kind of where we're going to be at in this text, in this passage. But there's a very missions theme in this passage, that here was a man that could not hear Jesus, and it took Jesus coming back and going to him and people bringing him to Jesus for him to be able to hear. And listen, in a spiritual sense, the same thing is true, that there are those that are outside the walls of this door, that are outside the walls of a community that has a Bible preaching church, or even a region sometimes, or nations, where again, the gospel is so foreign to them and they have no idea. They can't hear. They don't have opportunity to hear. But it's the responsibility of those who know the gospel and know them to bring them in contact with the gospel. It was this man's responsibility and his friend's responsibility to bring him to the one that could do something about it. Listen, I can't do anything about my sin. No one can. What does it do? It takes an encounter with Jesus Christ. It takes repentance and faith in the finished work of Christ. And that there's a responsibility for those who know Christ and who know about Jesus to help others get there. That there are those who cannot hear, who are at a point, and tonight we're going to look at a video from the Hendrix family going to England. You know, England used to be, London, England is where the Lord is leading them to, or a little town outside of there. And England used to be a place, a hotbed for the gospel and for the things of God. But those things have long gone. And now they may have some religious formality, but it's nowhere near biblical Christianity. You know what the need is? For others to go there and to be able to go there to present the gospel to them. So those who cannot hear, we're going to hear of people going, we heard of the Padillas going to Germany last Sunday night, that they need people to go take the gospel to them, to encounter Jesus, and people that know Jesus need to bring others who don't and bring them the opportunity to hear. But secondly, not only are there those now that cannot hear, unfortunately, there are some who will not hear. There's some that cannot, and those who choose not to hear. That say, you know what, I've heard it, I understand it, but that's not for me. Or I don't buy it. I've got other hangups as to why I'm not going to repent and put my faith and trust in Christ. Listen, it's not my responsibility to save people or to see people saved. You know what's my responsibility? To give them the opportunity to hear the gospel and leave the decision and the choice up to them. But you know what it's also my responsibility to do? To pray. To pray that God would bring conviction and pray that God would help them to see their need for a Savior. Tonight, Lord willing, I'm going to preach about prayer, about learning the importance of prayer. And listen, prayer works. Prayer moves the hand of God. Prayer puts the sovereign plan of God in motion. But why? Because there are those that are antagonistic towards the things of God, that don't want the things of God, that don't have time for, quote, religion. Well, guess what? Neither does Jesus. He doesn't want this religion. He doesn't want this empty faith that's just going through the motions. No, he wants a heart transformation. And you know what? I can be a good testimony and try to witness to people and try to get people to track, try to invite people to church, and they may stiff arm me. But you know what? My work is not done. I can't say, I'm just going to throw my hands. I tried, and now they're off of themselves. No, you know what I do? I kneel, because there's some that can't pray or can't hear. There's some that won't hear. But God can do the work that we can't. There's probably a lot of people that tried to do something for this man. Man, it's pretty crazy when I read some of the things that, or heard of some of the things that people did back in this time to try to restore a person's healing or blindness. I mean, things like putting a blood from a snake in this juice and then boiling this juice for so long and then putting other leaves and then you pour that in the ears and that's going to, you know, heal the ears. I mean, that's nonsense. It's not going to work. You know, but there's a lot of things that people will try to do to fix the problems that they have. But really, you know what it is? It's they need an encounter with Jesus. There's some that can't hear. There's some that won't hear. But if I can hear, then why would I not? Why would I not? In faith, in repentance and faith, trust what Christ has done. And why would I not try to do what I can to show others what Christ has done? Because it ends with this. Here's the reality. Listen, there's a lot of things that that I've tried that I failed at. There's a lot of things that I've tried even in the world of construction or building things, and I have failed at. Sometimes I start a project and my goal is to finish it as fast as you can, but sometimes trying to finish it as fast as you can, you're going to mess some things up and not do it the right way. I'm telling somebody, that's the difference between me and a craftsman. I just try to get the task done, but a craftsman cares about doing it right, making sure everything is done. It may not be fast and it may take some time, but it's being done right. What I love about how this passage ends, is there's a hope. Because listen, there's a lot of things that I'm going to try to do, and I'm going to try to help people and try to be faithful to the word. But you know what? There's times that I may mess up. But if I remember that Christ is my strength and Christ is the one that I'm trying to uplift, here's what it'll end with. Look in verse number 37. They were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He hath done all things well." He does all things well. There's nothing that Jesus done that's incomplete. There's nothing that Jesus does that is done half-heartedly or done in a way that's not sufficient. No, Jesus does all things well. When he saves completely. When he restores completely. He gives help. He gives hope. And he can even help in the midst of my frailties and my weaknesses. He can help to do what I can't do the right way. Why? Because he does all things well. So ask yourself, where are you? Are you a hearer of the things of God? Have you heard and have you received it? Do you refuse to hear? Or maybe you think, man, I've never even really heard it right before. Listen, Jesus wants us to know that he is the only way of salvation. He's the only one that can make sense of our life. Why? Because he's the only one that does all things well. So ask yourself, do I know for sure? Have I trusted Christ as my Savior? Do I hear? Can I hear? What am I doing for those who don't have the opportunity to hear? Am I involved? Am I active in trying to give them an opportunity to hear the gospel? Let's all stand, if you would. I want to take a time to respond. You say, you know what? I don't know that I've ever trusted Christ as my Savior. I don't know that my sins are forgiven. You know what? You can know today, as we've talked about in Sunday school, that He gives us the opportunity and the assurance so that we can know for sure that we're saved. He says in the epistle of 1 John, "These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life, you believe on the name of the Son of God." He wants us to know, but He wants others to know as well. So, Father, I pray that you would help us today. Help us to be obedient to your word and to this message today from Mark to us. And God, I pray that you would, Lord, help us to be reminded of those who are in our midst that may not know you. And God, I'm just thankful for the testimony even that I hear of those here, how they talk to people and tell them about you and talk to them about coming to church and being under the word of God. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to continue in that vein and in that thought. God, you've done so much for us. I pray that you would help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We're not going to have the piano play, but what I want you to do is just take a moment in silence. And if God has spoken to you, then you respond to Him. If you say, you know what, I need some help. I need to make sense of some things. Then step forward and I can step aside and show you from the Word of God some things. Because it's not me. It's not my Word. It's God's Word that's going to make a difference in our life. I'm going to be quiet and let you respond to God as He's spoken to you. Amen. Appreciate the attention to God's word today. It helps us. Just a couple things before we're dismissed today. Here in our bulletin, don't forget some things coming up here. Our missions month. I ask you to pray for that tonight. Like I said, we're going to be watching a video from the Hendricks family, a short, about 5 or 6 minute video, talking about how the Lord is leading them to the nation of England and the need that's there. So I encourage you to be here so we can watch that together. And then tonight, Lord willing, we're going to preach out of Matthew chapter 5 in what's called the Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus instructs His disciples on how to pray. So you say, why? Well, isn't praying simple? Well, you know what? Prayers work. And it's not easy, but Jesus teaches them. And if I want to learn how to pray, I want to learn from Jesus. I want to learn what He has to say. And I think this passage of Scripture, honestly, in my prayer life, has made one of the greatest impacts in my prayer life. And knowing that there's a way to do it. Because here's what we can do. We can learn, this is key, we can learn the mechanics of prayer without becoming mechanical. You know what I mean? Without just reciting things. That's not even God's plan. But we can learn the mechanics and how to pray without it just being a repetition. And then also, lastly tonight, I'm going to have a list of some projects that we've had on our list and some needs that we've had that we can look at and begin to pray. And it's going to be neat because a lot of them that we had even before the year started, we've been able to take off and scratch off a lot of those needs that have been met. But the Lord has blessed us with some extra funds, and I want us to be wise and good stewards of that. So I want us to all be able to kind of see some things that we have coming up that we need to address and even maybe pray and seek the Lord on what would be the best priority for some of those. So I want to hand that out tonight and give you an opportunity to look at that and pray about it, and we can talk later, all right? All right, well, good to see everyone here this morning. Pray that you'd be back tonight. James, would you mind closing us in a word of prayer and dismissing us?